Dr. Nick and Hot Aussie Chick Show is brought to you by the LasVegasAdvisor.com, CasinoMeister.com, and ThePog.com. Three great sites for all your casino gaming information needs.
This is the Dr. Nick and Hot Aussie Chick Show, where we talk everything casinos and help you get the advantage.
Hello, Dr. Nick, and hello, everyone listening in. How are you, Dr. Nick?
Good. How are you, Miss Hot Aussie Chick?
Hot.
Of course. It's the middle of summer in Australia.
It is. We've had 40 degrees Celsius, which is like well over 100, I think.
Yes.
Well, at least 40 for weeks. And it is not going to stop, which is a great thing because I love the summer heat, as everyone knows, other than humid summer heat. And I have my birthday this Friday.
That's right.
And you Australia are, Day Saturday.
Yes, those two combined are back-to-back.
They are. So every Australia Day, I don't have to worry about the night before when I've partied for my birthday.
And everybody gets to party with you, and they don't have to worry about going to work in less than tip-top shape.
Exactly. They can just relax by the beach or the river or the Lake Hume Dam, in my case, most of the time. No, I actually go to the river on Australia Day. No, it depends.
When I was in Australia, you actually took me to the river, and there is actually a photograph of me actually grilling shrimp on the Barbie.
Yeah, you're the only person in Australia doing it.
Right. Apparently that is not a real thing, grilling shrimp on the Barbie.
Let me tell you, that place that we took you to, that you grilled shrimp on the Barbie in Australia, a guy drowned last week.
Oh, that's not good.
Now, I remember having a conversation with you about swimming from one side of the mighty Murray River in Australia to the other, and I'm saying, do you know how many tourists die? Well, there you go. They don't read the signs, dangerous undercurrents, yeah, yeah. Anyway, anyone in Australia or any other country that it is hot at the moment who are finding relief via the water, please be careful.
Yeah, and it didn't actually look very intimidating just by looking at it, but apparently there is a very strong undercurrent there.
Oh, yes, a very strong one. Even a river girl like me won't take it on. So there you go.
And it's not that actually that far across. Maybe, what, 30 meters, I'd say?
Probably, yeah, but you won't make it unless you swim diagonally and you wait, far way away from the side of the bank until there is an opening where you quickly swim. Otherwise, you just get tangled in willow trees and branches, and it's a very dangerous thing, the river. You need to know it like the back of your hand, and even then, you're usually not going to be stupid enough to try swim directly to the other side. Yes. You'll drown.
Yes, I took your word for it, and I stayed out of the river when I was there.
And therefore, you are alive.
Yes, yes. So, we have a lot of new things coming up. This is the beginning of the big new year, and there's a lot of things going on in Las Vegas and in Australia as well.
One of them is a blackjack ball.
Yes, in February, there is a blackjack ball. It will be the 23rd blackjack ball hosted by Mr. Max Rubin.
It's only a quarter of a decade.
Yes, nearly.
A century.
Quarter of a decade, yes. That's
oh, gosh, the heat is getting to my head. A quarter of a decade. How much is that? 2.5. No, it's a quarter of a century.
Yes, it is. It is nearly 25 years old. And ironically, it started out as just a gathering for, a few friends. Maybe 5 or 10 people when it started out, and then it grown bigger and bigger every year. So now there's about 100 professional players of the best in the field that converge on Las Vegas once a year and to discuss and swap war stories, exchange strategies, and just to see what everybody else is up to around the world. And it's very, very interesting night, I guess you would say.
I'm so, so sorry, everyone. You can all hear that. Listen, stalkers, don't even try it. You heard that noise, right?
What is that?
I'm just sitting here going, oh, no. So I'm sitting here minding my own business in my house, and No one can get near me. If anyone comes near my bedroom or my front door, well, my dog, which may or may not be a Staffordshire Bull Terrier Cross, just tries to kill people. So sorry about that. Continue. Hopefully there's no more knocks.
So we were getting back. We were talking about the blackjack ball, how it's grown to be over 100 players and their partners. And it's a great night. We converge once a year, talk, have a very formal evening.
Drink copious amounts of alcohol?
Well, there is an open bar, yes. Everybody, there is? Ooh. Yes, everybody is required to bring a bottle of premium champagne for everybody to indulge in. So it's well over 100 bottles of champagne. And we get pretty nice and lubricated so it's a one time of the year that I drink.
Except for when you're with me and I'm secretly drugging you.
Well, maybe, but it's willingly, I should say, the first time willingly.
Yes.
So there's a formal night. There's the Calcutta, which is a series of questions, which is designed to determine.
Wait. So I'm so interested in the food and drink and the fanciness of this whole thing. I mean, we can't. Give us, if you don't mind, sorry for cutting in, you got to talking the questions and the important things, but give us a look into it. Does everyone go dress in gowns and suits and ties? I mean, it says the blackjack ball. It's not like suit and tie, or it is?
Well, it's very interesting. Some people come in $10,000 tuxedos, while others schlub in a pair of sweatpants and a t-shirt. It is all spectrums. Yeah, so there's no real formal dress code. I usually look semi-presentable.
So it's not like a ball, as in a ball.
No, not particularly. Ball. It's probably, we call it a beano, ball in name only. So so we go, I usually wear a pair of slacks and a dress shirt and perhaps a jacket. I don't think I've ever worn a tie to the black. I think I wore a bow tie once.
If I was invited to the blackjack ball, which I never will be, but nonetheless, if I was, you can only imagine how I would turn up. I hear the word ball and I'm gowning it, so I'm even putting on a tiara.
A tiara? Princess Hot Aussie Chick?
Yes. I would like to get very dressed up for a ball, so I'm glad you sorted that and explained that to everyone.
So what happens is usually there's cocktails and hors d'oeuvres for about an hour and a half beforehand. Everybody mingles and there's a formal dinner, and after which point there's a dessert, and then we do the Calcutta.
Good questioning.
Yeah, the Calcutta, which everybody engages in and is determined what the who gets the Grosjean Cup, which is about a 15-liter bottle of champagne. Yes.
And I've held one of those.
Yes, you're
very heavy.
Our good friend Anthony Curtis actually won it last year, I believe.
The year before.
Last year or the year before the 21st one. Yeah, Anthony Curtis.
Woo-hoo, go me, trivia queen.
Yes, Anthony won the 21st Blackjack Ball Grosjean Cup. That is exactly correct.
Yay! I'm so good. Yes. This blackjack stuff, I'm getting good. Blackjack knowledge. I might make it to that ball one day after all.
Well, if not the ball, then you can definitely make it to the after party, which is... there's actually two after parties. After the formal event, we all retreat to one of the players' houses, a hosting player's homes, and indulge in more food and more company. And then after that, the following day at about noon, we move over to another Blackjack Hall of Famer's home in Las Vegas, and it's an all-day party where people that are not advantage players per se, but are also but involved in the gaming community, tend to show up. Interestingly enough, I have arranged. I know we got a lot of response between Bob Nersesian, with Bob Nersesian, our lawyer friend, my attorney, and one of the other premier lawyers in the gaming world, Bob Loeb, will actually attends the Blackjack Ball every year. So we will be, at least I will be interviewing them both at Bob's office, Bob Nersesian's office, on that following Monday. So that is something to look forward to, everybody.
Okay, so it's very secretive for many people. We've just given away some names of the names, okay? So this is of the names that everyone knows that go to the ball, that openly say they're going, or, you know, openly post they're going or whatever it may be. What are the overs and unders of who is going to win the 23rd? I can't pronounce it. The cup.
The Grosjean Cup. Champagne, best, not Plonk.
Well, the best blackjack player in the world title.
Oh, it is all up for grabs because the questions are so nasty and
give me one.
They're so abstract that very few people
put me in my place because you know
The questions are usually designed by Max Rubin and James Grosjean and Richard Munchkin, all three who have been banned from participating. In the competition, just because they have all placed so highly so many times, and we just think it's just unfair for everybody else. But one of the questions was that if, say, you're playing a hole carding game, which means or a hole carding game, and the dealer has a 6 underneath and a 10 showing, or 7 underneath and a 10 showing, and you get a glimpse of the next card. The next card is going to be an ace, and you have a 17. What is the best play, the most profitable play for you to make in that situation? And
the safest or most profitable?
The most profitable, that gives you the best chance of winning the most money.
Of winning?
Yes. Winning.
Well, I would hit because I can't win if I'm going to be pushed, my 17 versus theirs. And I right. always have the option that I'm not obviously going to. But it would depend on the count.
Well, this is what it is. In that situation, your best bet would be to surrender your 17. Take half your money back and then bet exceptionally large on the next hand because your first hand is going to be an ace. And when you have an ace, you have a 47.6% advantage or 46 point something percent advantage. So
yeah, okay. Well, I'm never winning the best blackjack player of the year.
So it's four-dimensional thinking where you have to.
Not that I ever was.
Where you have to, you know, take into all things in consideration. So that's the type
Very
of question.
Good. Excellent question.
Yes, and
now that really gets the mind thinking.
And there was another question. There's a horse race bettor, one of the best in the world, named Bill Bettner. And they asked him, well, what does he do in his spare time? And Bill Bettner is if you look him up, he has got a foundation. He's been doing horse racing for years and just exceptionally wealthy person. I'm not going to throw out any numbers here, but it turns out what he does in his spare time is he drives for Uber.
And sorry, I was just sipping a bourbon. It's a bit hot here. And it's after lunch, so I can... Oh, I have heard... We talked about this on a show before.
Yes, so I know Bill. I spoke to him briefly, and I was like, Bill, you know, I mean, I know you just had a baby, I mean, or your wife had a child. I mean, I could spot you some money if you need, if you're a little short. But no, he did it as a kind of a social experiment.
Right. Yes,
with Uber.
We discussed
yeah,
that.
To see
yes.
what it has. So those are some of the questions you have to get through. And then once you get to like to the top five players, it's all about skill sets. I mean, how fast can you count down a deck? Cutting
how fast can you count down a deck?
At my peak I could do a single deck using the APC count in about 22 seconds.
Okay, well that's faster than my daughter. She's yes. an up-and-coming avid blackjack.
Oh yes, we should discuss what her what actually well, happened we, to her with the
right,
with
well,
the candy.
Well, we, of course, have a lot of business connections. We have to talk business a lot. I mean, you know, between the two of us. And she listens in to lots of conversations and, of course, has seen you multiple times.
Right.
The candy?
When she won at school.
Oh, well, she didn't, like, win candy, so to speak, because she won respect, though. Anyhow, she was sitting in maths class and they had a double period of maths. And the first period was over and there was no more work to do. And the teacher said, okay, well, we'll play some board games, some math board games. And he handed out Uno cards. You know, we call them in Australia. You know, I've got one card left, but Uno apparently is the proper way to pronounce it. And such things. And her, well, no, not interested. She sat there reading a book. Her friend next to her, or a classroom mate, she sat there drawing. Anyhow, the teacher came over and said, do you want to play fish or something like that? Well, no, we don't want to play go fish. Do you want to play blackjack? Or 21? And Elle, my daughter, said, yes, I want to play 21. Anyhow, the story goes, she said she wanted to play blackjack, rather. He called it 21. The girl said, okay, I suppose I'll play with you. And before you know it, the whole class had joined on in and, Elle took a fancy to blackjack players. In fact, one of her English reports, which scored top and got her straight A's, was on Jelko Renacek.
Yes.
And so she continued to play blackjack and counted cards and destroyed the classroom, and the teacher was very impressed. And that is it. The end. The kid is a... I'm just so upset. This Dr. Nick and the Hot Aussie Chick Show, I always envisaged my daughter would be a poker player. Hates the game.
Hates the game.
Hears about blackjack. Loves it.
Yes.
Loves it.
Yes.
She might meet you there one day.
Possibly. Doubtful, but we'll see.
So anyhow, that's the story of
yes.
So other happenings in the world. The blackjack ball, Aussie Millions yes. about to start.
Let's talk about Aussie Millions.
I know that there's lots of Las Vegas poker players that have flown on in or are on their way. We have, of course, Australia's Marshall Wagner, Karina Jett, Alan Kessler. There's just three names that everyone would know straight off the bat that have already or are on their way, arriving. Normal, regular Australians, other than one who was banned. But anyhow, we won't go into that. So we've got that happening. And then after that, I think it's Wells Series of Poker prep time. I mean, right. You know, we've got tournaments in between, but to me, they're the two that count. So Wells Series of Poker, there have been some changes.
Yes. They announced the schedule last week. And the two main changes are the main event is going to be have a starting stack of now 60,000 chips as opposed to 50,000 chips.
Mm-hmm.
And which I've played tournaments, so I'm guessing that will prolong the levels prolonged.
What was that? Demon again?
No, that wasn't demon. That was my iPhone. I was on the Facebook looking something up. And
Facebook, not the Facebook.
I call it the Facebook.
But
so when that's going to prolong the. I mean, you be more of an authority to speak on that. What's going to happen? What can be expected with that increase in chips stack?
Well, for starters, I think it's going to throw a lot of players. Lots of players have studied and moved around playing with a stack of 50,000. Now, I know that 10,000 does not seem like a lot of chips, but taken into context, stop and think of if you had a starting stack of 10K, and then suddenly it was 20K. You know, in that respect, obviously, you can see that's a huge increase. That's 50%. So we're talking about, you know, a fairly big increase. And though in some instances you would think it would prolong, it may not. I mean, you always have those going out in their first hand with pocket aces, you know.
Right.
We've discussed that before and so on and so forth. Look, there's so many factors involved. I think more than anything, it's an irritant. No offense, World Series of Poker. It would irritate me. I mean, I've been practicing. Not that I intend to play the World Series of Poker main event. Maybe the mini event.
Yeah, that's another thing. We'll get to that in a second. But what I'm concerned...
The 50,000 start stack, I've been practicing all year. In fact, the last tournament I played had a 50,000 start stack, and I won it.
Well, let me... Yes, you did win the... We'll get to that in a second. But what it's a 20% increase.
Well, we're talking...
Yeah, the 20...
About
yeah,
that.
There's a 20% increase. The levels aren't going to go up any faster here, are they?
I don't believe so, no. Though I've not looked right into it yet. I probably should. That's right. Something I should be up on top on. So, up on top of, rather. Yeah, the levels don't change. So, of course, if you're slow grinding, it is certainly going to prolong your time in there.
Right. And then with that as well, this is not the first time that you had an increase in stack. They've done it before. Is that correct?
I have no idea. Well, I should, shouldn't I?
The Aussie Millions, right? They've increased stack sizes as well, right?
Honestly, no idea right now. Mm. All out of my mind. I'm 100% positive that I have written about it. Increases in stack sizes, effects, like I said, comments from some of the biggest pros. I'm pretty sure I wrote something in Australian Poker Weekly, actually, about that many, many moons ago. But I can't be certain. I've just written and read too much. It's now I've become a Google myself.
Oh, the Google thing. So we have Aussie Millions. Any mm-hmm. notable changes there this year or no?
Again, I haven't looked at it, other than my friends, acquaintances and notable players that are flying in and out. And look, that's mainly from social media. The reason I haven't looked is because I'm not going.
Right. You are boycotting the Aussie Millions.
Oh, I've kind of boycotted it a lot of years because, you know, what's happened is online poker is banned. And that takes away my income. So playing anything is a bit difficult. You know, it's like start again for the third time.
Right.
So all I can hope is that Australia comes to its senses and unbans online poker so I can make some money. And then I can go to events such as the Melbourne Poker Champs and the Vic Poker Champs and the Aussie Millions. All over again. Now, I've never played in Aussie Millions poker event, just for the record, and that's because I'm normally reporting. Same with the World Series of Poker. You know, if you're a media, you have to give advance notice of what you will and won't play in and so on and so forth. And, you know, it's sort of frowned upon. They don't really want you playing in events as well as reporting, you know, being the main reporter for a company. So... that's that.
Right, and that's one of the main reasons Maria Ho has actually declined from reporting this year. She will be playing in the events. For those who don't know, Maria Ho actually was inducted into the Women's Hall of Fame last year, and at which point she decided to make a triumphant return to gaming and sidestep and walk away from, although I don't know if it's completely walk away from,
maybe not completely, I doubt right. that, but yes to play. I believe she's planning on playing a lot more,
right?
At least that's what was in the pipe works and discuss,
right? So
might have a little look into that too. Google I shall this afternoon. Speaking of googling and looking into things and poker happenings, I have just posted up an article on Women's Poker World, which is a it is primarily women, but it's about poker lifestyle and whatever else. And I've posted
I think the title is The Complete Women's Poker Lifestyle Magazine.
Right, but I mean, men can be bitches, so, you know, it can apply to them too, especially this article, which is all about the secret lives of millionaire online poker players. Now, it's to no surprise that people have been hit hard since the bans of online poker, and me being one of them, obviously. And what they're doing right now. Well, what have their lives become? I mean, many years ago, an article was written about the lives of these guys and girls, you know, that are sitting there playing online poker, making mints of money.
A lot of them. I know a friend of yours that we know. We won't mention his name, but he actually moved to Mexico and plays online poker. Yes.
Yes, that's one of the very countries that players have moved to. It's like Mexico, Brazil, places in Europe, you know, from Australia and the USA. And all due respect to the USA and the government, the USA government, state governments in particular, for implementing rules so that online poker players can play in different states, but that's not very helpful to a professional online poker player that plays reasonably high stakes.
Right.
Because they want to play on very trusted sites, not that the World Series of Poker.com, as an example, is not trusted, but very trusted sites, you know, ones that are on the stock exchange.
Well, why isn't World Series of Poker.com? Because that's a site that I play on. I think that's the only site available in Nevada to play on.
Oh, I'm sure there's more, but
well, I think Nevada law states that in order to be legal within Nevada, you have to have be affiliated with a casino, and
right.
And I don't think any other card room is associated with the casino except for.
What about America's Card Room?
America's Card Room, I tried to download that program and it won't let me, saying that it is not allowed.
Sure.
Remember, I tried that.
Right. Well, anyhow, they want to play on the big sites. You know, the ones with thousands upon thousands of thousands of people. The games that they like to play, you know, as an example, Six Max Sit and Goes, etc. So, mm-hmm. In other words, the likes of PokerStars.
Right.
You can't do that state by state in the USA. So most of them are fled from the USA, from Australia, from anywhere.
Well, I know
VPNs just don't cut it.
PokerStars, I know, got into a whole lot of trouble. Not a whole lot of trouble, but... pissed off a lot of people because there is what they call a rake back when they play, and there's only a handful of players that had what they call supernova status, and which was they played like over a million hands a year, and they get a certain percentage of the rake back, and that
yes, it was cut.
Yes, it could. I know a person who has got affected by that, and it cost her over $100,000 in rake back per year. So they just they just did it without warning and didn't let anybody know they were going to do it. But so when the time for the rake back came, it never came.
That sucks.
Yeah,
it really does. That is a huge chunk out of someone's wage.
Right. So I'm just saying.
And that's what it is. I mean, online poker playing may sound all whistles and bells. What are the words? You know, it may sound all luxurious. You know, oh, I just sit at home and play some online poker and make $1 million a year. No.
It's frustrating. It is. I've been playing just these tournaments, and I call you, and I call our good friend Dr. Schoonmaker. I get so frustrated because I'm way ahead and I get sucked out, and it's like a big kick in the head and the stomach and every other part of your anatomy, you want to say, but it just,
well, just wait until you're playing, you know, frequent $1,200, $1,000, $500 entries, and you get sucked out on and go on a downward spiral on your little graph.
Well, yeah. Well, again, I mean, this is why it's important for people who put on tournaments to honor their guarantees, because
here we go again.
Yes, because when you need that cash up, and when it doesn't come, you get pretty upset.
Yeah. Obviously, and there's a very small margin. You know, when you were at the top of your field in gambling, which many of our listeners may be.
Or on their way up, or on their way up to that.
Right. Oh, yeah. As an example, if you're talking elite poker player versus elite poker player in heads up. Not that I played excessive amounts of... heads up poker at high stakes, to say the least. I mean, I'm no Phil Ivey or Gus Hansen, right? I was not playing nosebleed games like that. But the players I played against frequently, And the margin was so very tight that you had to do everything to get yourself an advantage. And if I had not been paid $3,000 like you, that would have significantly hurt my bankroll.
Right. And for those of you who don't, be aware of Crocodile Entertainment and the APPC in Sydney, Australia. They have changed guarantees at the last minute without letting everybody know or changing the tickets and stiff players. So just gets a
while
heads
we're
up.
At it, I have to say a big hello out there to someone that no one knows, which would be Drew Peacock, because I just played heads up against him, or even on 6 and 9 seater tables so much. One of my biggest rivals in the times that had gone, and I don't know. I think he probably I owe him money. Anyhow, that just goes to show. I mean, you know, when you're playing constantly, you get to realize the small margins
right.
do make a difference.
And
the $3,000 is no small margin for most people.
Right, right. And digressing a little bit, we were talking about the secret lives of poker players, an article that you just posted on Women's Poker World. And, you know, it's not all, you know, sometimes it's high stakes partying and all that sort of thing. But you got to take it easy and just got to be careful because in the past week, the poker world lost a very well-known player, Mr. Gavin Smith, who I've never met in person, but friends of mine have known him and they just said he was just one of the best guys around. But he did engage in the poker lifestyle a lot. He drank heavily and partied hard and passed away.
No, we don't know, you know. I don't personally know, you may, what the cause of his unfortunate passing was.
Right. Well, I don't know either, but I don't know 100%, but we do know that the man, you know, did like his alcohol, excessive amounts, and he did like to party, and unfortunately he was taken from the world at the ripe young age of just over 50 years old. So it's important
very sad.
Yes, it is, but it can be a cautionary tale as well. And then there's players who are...
For people like me.
Yeah, and there's just players who are...
Said, yeah, without hesitation. Come on, listeners, you've got to beat him up for that. He's saying that I party hard and drink copious amounts of alcohol.
I don't know about that. But then on the other end of the spectrum, there are people who work out excessively and eat extremely healthy, such
as
Daniel Negreanu. I know Daniel Negreanu. Speaking of Mr. Negreanu, he recently got engaged.
He did, to Amanda Leatherman. Such a beautiful lady. I've known her for so, so, so very long. You know, not as best buddies, nothing like that. But, oh my gosh, to put the congrats. You know what I said? I'm like, oh my God, you get the added bonus of these puppies.
He's
so happy
yes.
for her.
Daniel Negreanu is a big puppy addict.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a vegan, which we won't hold that against him. But yes,
he is incredibly smart, though. He packs. He does what I do. I almost called you. Well, I'm allowed to. Well, whatever. Anyhow, he packs. He packs his food and takes it with him. Healthy choices in his lunchbox to go play poker, which is exactly what I do.
Well, I believe he lives in Las Vegas, does he not?
He does, but
yeah.
He still takes healthy food to the poker room. It's a smart thing to do.
And he brings his the World Series of Poker. He camps out in his trailer that he has parked over the World Series
of
Poker.
Yes, most of the time, I suppose.
Yes,
I don't know if all the time, but anyhow, the point is, yes, you are correct. There are players like the likes of Daniel Negreanu and Phil Hellmuth was talking to us about his diet. You were having a good old yak about him last time we saw him. He had lost
about 35-40 pounds from the previous year.
Right,
and
he said that his mind was so much better and so much clearer. Don't mind me, I was earwigging.
Well, I don't know how much better your mind can be. Phil Hellmuth is not exactly a picture of mental optimal play and optimal health when his temper tantrums and his yakety yak conversation. Oh, I think, well, I have the feeling that he sets up, I think he uses that act away from the table or at the table to set up opponents even for the next time to blow people up then. So, I mean, it's possible. You know.
It is. I don't consider myself a stupid person by any means, and though I have no Hendon mob caches because I have not played really live poker, I have done exceptionally well to bring my children up playing online poker. I consider myself a pretty damn good poker player that has all the extras, such as knows how to study, reviews hands, does all that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. When I can play, that is. And the point that I'm getting at is I rant. So here I am playing poker, cool, calm, and collective. The mind is tick, 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 ticking over like no tomorrow. We're working extraordinarily, like a CPU in a computer. And then, boom, I explode too.
A hysterical woman. That's unheard of.
I've been in tears. I've thrown things. In fact, I've thrown electronic things I may have been playing on at the time. But nonetheless, I can completely relate to him.
It can be frustrating. I know. I've been playing just a short time, and I know it's frustrating.
Okay, well, everyone, we should place bets on when Dr. Nick is going to throw his first laptop.
Well, it's when you just get sucked out. I get very... I don't want to say get upset because I'm well familiar with the swings in advantage gambling, but when you take a hit, boy, it sucks to high heaven. I mean, it's just, I always say blackjack.
I think everyone knows.
Right. A blackjack player, or any advantage player for that matter, has the demeanor or the mental attitude of a manic depressant. You're either really, really super happy or you're really, really super low. And it's, you know, when you take a hit, you know, you get pissed off, and you know, sometimes you just got to walk away from the game for a day or two, and then come back to it and know that the math comes in. So that's what I've been doing, you know, just that's what I and every other player has done. But speaking of which,
well, we've just gotten completely off track.
Well, we should talk
about, I just want to say my deepest sympathies. There was a lovely tribute to the life of Gavin Smith. And my deepest sympathies to all of his friends and family. It is not easy, as most of us know, to lose someone that you care about, love.
Right.
But, you know, and it's an exceptionally huge part of your life.
The worst part about it is that he did leave behind two small children, and they set up a GoFundMe page. So,
which you should all get on.
Yes, go. You know, so they raised quite a bit of money for his kids. So, if you have a few dollars to spare, go ahead and put it. Go look up the Gavin Smith GoFundMe.
Five bucks, guys and girls.
Yeah,
that's cheap and cheap entertainment. Listen to our nonsense, ranting and raving, and pay $5 to the Gavin Smith.
Yeah.
Well, I actually there's a I put that up on Women's Poker World too. So right. Sorry, I'm mentioning this so much, but you know how to cope with losing a loved one, and inside that is actually the link to the GoFundMe.
Yeah, Gavin so Smith. Go check so it out. Go. And and speaking of another article you put up, we're gonna kind of switch gears.
Wait, what about a healthy lifestyles versus partying and stuff?
Well, the epitome of
we'll
that.
We'll get to that next week.
Well, the epitome of that is. Is Miss Betty White, who just turned 97, and celebrated by playing poker.
She did. What a champ. And eating cake.
And you have to eat cake.
It's not all innocent.
Right.
Where's
so
97? Now, I thought she was dead.
No.
There's something called the Mandela effect that everyone's convinced of, and one of those things is I'm sure Betty White is dead. Betty White is not. Next thing I'm writing an article about her.
Yes, she is alive and well, from my understanding.
What about Nelson Mandela? When did he die?
Oh, a long time ago, several years ago.
Well, why is it called the Mandela effect? Do you know?
No idea. Do you?
No, I think it's because of Nelson Mandela. Everyone thought he was already dead when he was alive and kicking.
Well, he was locked up in prison for several years. But anyway, moving on. After the Aussie Millions is going to be, people are going to be gearing up to the World Series of Poker, Las Vegas.
So we're talking about the majors of tournaments everyone goes to. So of course you have your 888 live events and, you know, whatever else.
Right, around the country, but everybody wants that coveted bracelet.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, The Venetian will also be having several tournaments. They are engaging in some high stakes tournaments to compete with the World Series of Poker. So be sure to
Oh,
check
they
those
are.
out. Yes, because our good friend Anthony Hope engaged in a couple of those tournaments last year. Don't you recall that?
Yes, Australia's Anthony Hope. He travels relentlessly,
Yes,
tournament to tournament all around the world, Asia, Australia, USA. I'm not sure he's in Australia much. I'm certain he'll be in Melbourne right now, playing the Aussie Millions. But yes, he did. He played the Venetian, Deep Stacks, etc. last year, and there were a lot of players there because
Yeah,
I
there
went and checked
were.
it
It's
out.
in the back room of the tournament there. They have a so it's just be sure to check that out as well.
Do you think better value? I mean, he's a value hunter, so they must be better value. Some of them,
Well,
anyway.
I yeah, there was some value, and I'm a value hunter too, which is why I played in that short stack tournament that I got ripped off on.
Well, of course, there is value, and then there is glory. And I suppose you have to weigh it up. Do you want the bracelet or do you want the money?
I'll take the money 9 times out of 10.
I don't know. I want a bracelet, but I want the money too. The bracelet and the money comes at the World Series of Poker.
Well, yes. And just be careful. There, one thing I came across of recently, and then people need to be aware of, are these operators that hold what they call staking tournaments.
Oh,
And you have to
yes.
be careful. Be sure to read the fine print, folks, on these,
There's
because.
quite a few of those going around at the
Right.
World Series of Poker main event, in fact.
Yes. So what this is say there's a group that offers what they call a staking tournament, and you really will not know whether it's a staking tournament until you read the fine print. So what happens is, say they have 40
So
people.
some advertise it, but people
Yes,
just don't
but
understand. They're
yes.
like, oh,
So
staking tournaments, like, woohoo, and a satellite, staking satellite,
what
rather.
it is say there's 40 people in a tournament, each pay $250, and the winner gets a ticket into the World Series of Poker main event. So what a staking tournament is you get the seat even though you paid your 40 your $250 for the 40 people tournament. If you cash at any level in the World Series of Poker main event, you must give half of your winnings to the
Or whatever the
organization,
percentage is.
usually half.
Whatever. Not
Yes, but
usually
whatever
half,
percentage they
yes.
say to the person who put up the staking tournament. So half your money is actually gone right off the bat, or a third, or a quarter, or whatever it is that you have to do. So
And
just
so
be
basically,
careful
you're better
about
off
that.
entering a $250, 40-player tournament
For
that
ten
is
thousand,
not a
yeah,
staking
for
satellite
yes, for
because you don't have to give over anything then.
yes, exactly. So just be careful. And some of these people that do this cater to a certain demographic. And this demographic may not be the most savvy and understand it, what's going on. So just make sure you all read the fine print, because you don't want to find yourself in a position where half your money is taken from you.
And make sure you tell your peers, your poker associates. I mean, if you've got a newbie in poker, you don't want to see the game get a bad name because they're. Of course, there are people that love staking satellites.
Right.
They want to be part of a staking satellite. If there's advantages as well as disadvantages, you, as an example, enter a 40-player staking satellite into the World Series of Poker main event with 40 people that you are in close contact with and you're sharing in the glory. One player's going forward to play the main event and everyone benefits. It might be a tournament, a staking satellite like that,
Right.
where each right or one person may be the beneficiary of 50%. It just depends. Anyhow, there are benefits, but if you see a staking tournament and you're going to enter it, make sure you read the fine print, and more importantly, if you see a newbie poker player, do tell them about it.
So a couple quick things that we know of before we wrap things up here is, when you're making your trip to the World Series of Poker, best website to go on look for flights would be skyscanner.com, everybody. We have no affiliation with them,
Yes.
but
No,
they do
just the
have some great
knowledge.
deals. I got a great I'm when I'm going to be heading out to Australia here in a few weeks, a couple in late February. I believe I got a round trip airline from LA to Melbourne on Qantas Airlines for a mere $650 US,
which, yeah, that's round trip.
Yes.
So Melbourne, LA to Melbourne. Yes. Very cheap.
On Qantas, of all places. It's supposed to be a fantastic.
Which is an excellent airline.
Yeah.
They've never had a crash. And they also are usually very expensive. The last time I looked at Qantas through LA, it was 1999 return with a little asterisk next to it. So obviously conditions apply. So. That's
and
a fabulous deal.
Also,
you found it on Skyscanner.
If you want to go to our other sister site, CasinoExploits.com, under the Level 1 Comp Exchange, we do have discounted room rates for a few days at a time. So be sure to check those out as well. CasinoExploits.com.
Also, of course, one of our sponsor sites, which is LasVegasAdvisor.com. Now, I really want to get Mr. Anthony Curtis from Huntington Press and Las Vegas Advisor. .com on the show to discuss his 2019 membership, which includes the world famous coupon book. That's amongst the people that are trying, world famous amongst the people who are trying to save money. Oh my gosh, the dollars to be saved. If you turn up to the World Series of Poker and you don't have that book, you're crazy.
You're saving a fortune on there. The Las Vegas Advisor membership book. Great, great book. For
The membership is just fabulous.
Yes.
It's like, so very cheap, too.
It's like unbelievable. Yeah.
And it pays for itself in one voucher.
I keep saying it
over and over again.
Yes. Well, I'm sure they'll take your word for it eventually, correct?
Yes, they will. Some people have. There's been an influx, I'm sure, of poker players. You know, it's the old thought on poker players go is we are all wanting to save that extra blind. You know, we're all so very goddamn tight. We're tight asses.
Right.
However, if you are actually in that category of being a tight-ass poker player, you'll get the book. Because that's a good way to be a tight-ass poker player.
Absolutely.
Does that make any sense?
Absolutely.
You're saving more money from getting the book, fools. Get it.
Right. Okay, Danielle, that's a good show. We can wrap things up, and we will be back next week to talk a little bit more strategy and see what else is going on in the world of poker, blackjack, and advantage play across the board.
Yes, poker meets blackjack, and America meets USA.
Absolutely.
Enough said.
All right, Danielle, we'll see you next week.
Bye, everyone.